Hi guys, I am back and I'm angry as usual. ولا مرة بيجي لعندكم ما بكون معتوبة من شي محل. اليوم حرقنا أصبعنا نحن عم نطبخ. هديك المرة درسي، اليوم أصابع إيدي. So ما رح أقدر كتير استعمل أصابع إيدي أنا عم بحكي، مع أنه أنا كتير بحكي بإيدي مش بس كتير هقد بنفعل. Anyway, so I came here with a pure subject in mind. I wanted to talk about a lot of things, obviously, why I have this podcast. But on my way here, I found something on the road. And حسيت لازم أحكي عن هالموضوع لأنه كتير عم يسمني، اللي هو موضوع العالم يلي عم بتكون على الطرقات. I don't fucking understand why I still am seeing people on the street وعلى الروشة or على المارينا still partying ومولعينا as if nothing is happening. So my friend told me, you know, what do you expect? This is our country. ما في إنه a proper lockdown that's being happening here because, you know, our government is not taking the right precautions, etc. إنه الجيش والدرك ما كتير عم بيشددوا مدري شو. What I don't understand is why people need validity or even the opinion of the government or whatever. بضل بدهم سلطة تطلع عليهم as a parent. إنه don't you care about your own health? Don't you care about yourself? Don't you care about the ones you love, your parents, your grandparents, yourself? Because obviously it's not only killing the weak, it's killing everyone or anyone. So don't you care about yourself? Why the fuck are you still on the streets? You are keeping us, نحن. Apparently we're the minorities sitting in our houses. Why the fuck are you going out? Why? Why don't you care? If you don't care about yourself, don't you care about others? Don't you care about us? We've been locked in our houses for almost 3 months, okay? Soaking in anxiety and stress and depression. And فوق كل هيدا, our economy is not doing great, by the way. So why the hell are you doing this to us? There are a billion things to do, a billion. That's the problem with this generation. That's the problem with this era. We are so used to going out in order to take fresh air. We don't know how to calm ourselves while being in our in the comfort of our own home. What I don't understand is you have to go out, see others, see people that have been going out and risk your lives and the lives of the ones you love in order to feel like you've done something in your day, in order to feel better about yourself. Listen, I wanted to talk about a different subject today, but I'm not going to talk about it. Maybe I'll talk about it later, but I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about our anxieties because I'm someone who, if you don't know or if you don't follow me on Instagram or any of my social media accounts, I'm someone who struggled with anxiety and depression for a very, very long time. I was raised with it. As a teenager, I struggled deeply with it. And it was really tough for me. And I didn't, back then, when I was younger, back then, I'm not that old, but you know, there's a really big difference between what I grew into and what now, the awareness that we have about anxiety and depression. So as a teenager, it was not something to be proud of. So it was not something I would talk about generally. So only my parents, my dad is a psychiatrist, and well, my mom, whatever, she struggled with anxiety and depression as well. So when I was young, I struggled with it. And I didn't know at first what it was. My dad knew, but didn't tell me. So instead, what he did to me is put me on a certain therapy and told me it was completely normal. He just wanted to see how anxious I was. And apparently, I was a very, very anxious child. I used to always have existential questions. I was very deep, always very insightful, but too insightful for my own good as a child. So I grew up as a very anxious person and I went through a severe depression for many reasons that I will talk about later for sure. But I just wanted to talk about maybe the superficial point of anxiety and depression. And then later on, for sure, we'll go deeper into that. So what I wanted to say is, as a teenager going through that alone with my own family, it was really tough going to school, feeling like I was disconnected, like no one understood what I was going through and why the hell was I going through that. I would look into other kids and I would look at them and be like, I wish I could be them. I wish I could be this carefree, but there's something holding me down. So back then, I saw that as an obstacle. I had something called névrosphobique, which is something means like a hypochondriac. So I used to always feel like I was sick or I'm going to die. I had a separation anxiety. I was really, really, it was really fucked up for me. So I would go through that by myself, and no one knew, none of my friends knew or could ever understand what I was going through because they're kids and it's completely normal. So I was left alone with my own thoughts as a child, whether in the classroom or on breaks or on my way back home, going to school, before I sleep, when I'm alone. I was always alone with my thoughts, and I didn't have sisters. I don't have sisters. I have stepsisters, and they're much older than me. So I didn't have anyone truly around me to guide me other than my mom or my dad, which is still not as effective, since you don't usually, as a child or as an adult, say everything to your parents because there are so many things you're afraid to say or shy to say. And to my therapist, I was always reluctant to talk to her about these things because I was always scared that she'd find something in me that might scare me even more. So as an introduction to all of that, I just wanted to lay the basis of it. So anxiety, it comes from overthinking everything. It's mainly when you put your brain in autopilot and allow your brain to wander left and right, up, down. It just goes everywhere and asks so many questions, and you just feed on it more, and it gives your body panic attacks. Your body starts reacting to it because your body thinks you're constantly on a survival mode. Your body starts thinking you're in danger constantly. So your body then, at first, when it first starts, your body is not used to it. So it's not a habit. It's not a pattern yet. So later on, when your body starts going into that, it becomes a pattern and a habit. So your body doesn't need a thought or anxiety to give you panic attack. So your body starts giving you these panic attacks by itself. So why is that? Because your body is used to it. Your body is used to, now you wake up, you're usually stuck in traffic or you're on your way to school. So you're usually anxious about something. You're usually overthinking something. So your body automatically gives you a panic attack or any symptom of anxiety. So it could be sweaty hands, heartbeat. It could be butterfly in your stomach. It could be loss of appetite or overeating. It could be a lot of things, or insomnia, or you know them, or you can research them. So I struggled with that for obviously all my life, for as long as I can remember. And I was reading my diary the last time, and I saw the questions that I was asking. They were so fucking morbid and so fucking dark and so fucking deep and insightful. And I just think if I had someone to hold my hand and direct me to the right place, things would have been easier for me. Because I always felt misunderstood. I always felt disconnected from the world around me because I always felt weird for asking myself these questions. And I didn't want to ask these questions to anyone around me because I didn't want them to feel like, to make me feel like I'm an outcast, right? So I didn't want to feel like I'm different or that I'm a weirdo, because I already felt like I was a weirdo asking all these questions. So I'm not going to go into the details of the questions because they're weird. And again, I think I'm doing the same thing I did to myself when I was younger. But it was just main questions about life and death and just weird questions children shouldn't or don't usually worry about. So to cut things short, I went into my teenage years with that anxiety and with that fear of not being in control of myself or my thoughts or my body. I always felt like things happened to us, but we didn't have control over them. I felt like life moves too fast for me and I was too slow and I couldn't keep up. And this created anxiety in me, all sorts of anxiety. I felt like I couldn't handle my body anymore. I felt like every human's pace was so much faster than mine and I had to keep up and I couldn't. And it kept me awake at night, and which created in me to be an insomniac. I started being an insomniac at a very young age. So I couldn't sleep at night and I just sit and think or listen to music and just try to relax my brains because it would kill me. I would constantly feel tired during the day and still overthink. My inner monologue would never shut up. I didn't have 1 second to myself, right? So this is what anxiety does to you. So then it was just a multiple of things, and growing up was very tough on me because I felt like life was slipping through my hands, although I was very young. But I felt like it was going too fast. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who I was. I saw my friends finding who they were. I saw my friends realizing what they wanted to be, who they wanted to be, what they like, what they didn't like. And I would just find myself stuck in the middle of everything. I was literally in the middle of life. So I would like cold things, but like hot things. I would like pink. I would like red. I would like so many things. I would like to be an actress. I wanted to be an actress. My dream was to be an actress, but I also want to help people. I want to be a psychologist. But what if I'm good in medicine? What if I could be a psychiatrist? So I wanted to be all of these things. But society, for men and for women, always asks of you, who are you? What do you want to be? And I would lose my shit because I was so terrified of answering that question because I didn't know. And that was mainly my anxiety because people would ask me at 18, you're old now, you're old enough to know. So what do you want? And I still didn't know what I want. I still don't know what I want today. I'm 26 and I don't know what I want. Things are still changing for me. I'm still evolving as a human being. And I still, today I realize that it's so wrong and it's it's so toxic to ask young adults to figure out who they are or what they want. Young adults don't know. We don't know. We've been in school all of our lives with the same friends, same people, same teachers. Then we finish school, we go to universities, different friends, but we then get acquainted to them. So we have different routine now. So we didn't get the chance to go out, meet people, mingle as much as we can, as much as school puts us in. So we have 6 hours a day in school or 8, sitting in school with the same people, same friends every day, for 18 years of our lives. Then we have just 1 year or even less to go and experience. That's nothing. You should be able to go and experience in your formative years. Growing up should be an experience. It shouldn't be just school. It shouldn't be just university. It shouldn't be just answering questions. You have to go and search for your questions. Your question, not society's question. Society's questions are, what do you want to be when you grow up? Who do you love more, your mom or your dad? What do you like to do? What's your hobbies? Those are society's questions. But you should be able, what's more important than answering those questions, is to be able to go and search for your question. What are your questions? What is it that you want out of life? Maybe you don't give a fuck what you want to be when you grow old. Maybe you don't give a fuck about what you like, what you don't like. Maybe your calling is different. So all of these things create anxieties when a community doesn't allow you to be who you want to be. When I say that, when I say be who you want to be, it's in the sense of who do you see is the best version of yourself? Not what society thinks is best for you. No. What do you think? Maybe you don't think school is good for you. It could happen. Now, I'm not telling you not to quit school. That's not what I'm saying, because school at the end of the day is important with so many aspects. Education is a must because it teaches you a lot of things. But what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes pressuring yourself to be the best at something, maybe that's not what you want. Maybe it's someone else's dream that you're trying to live or uphold. Sometimes we want to be the best of something because our parents think this is how we should be. This is how maybe our parents would think the best of us. Maybe we're searching the validation of our parents, our friends, society, past lovers. So what I'm trying to say, anxiety comes from trying to be liked, by yourself, by your parents, by your friends, by everyone. Trying to find who you are. We spend so much time going the wrong way, going the wrong roads, wrong journeys, wrong relationships, wrong friendships, wrong everything. We get stuck in places, in households, thinking that this is right for us just because we're in the search of who we are, who we truly are. What are we here for individually? What are you here for? So I grew up with all these questions in my head. I grew up thinking, I don't have a fucking clue. I see all these people like figuring shit out, being adults, getting money, paying taxes, having their own houses. Most of my friends have their own apartment. I can't even buy my own clothes. I need my dad for that. And you know why? Because I'm still searching for who I truly am. Every day I wake up learning something new, adding something to the table, adding something to my own table, which changes my whole personality. Maybe today I want to be an actress. Maybe tomorrow I don't want to be an actress anymore. Maybe I overcame that. Maybe now I want to be something else. You have to find your true calling, and it's going to take a whole lot of fucking time. But you have to do it or else you live your life miserably. So after that, after my teenage years of suffering with anxiety and all these fucking unanswered questions, man, I grew up and I couldn't catch a breath. I couldn't handle it anymore. It was too much pressure on me. I would overthink every little thing. I had trust issues left and right. I was insecure about so many things. My body, my face, my, am I kind? Am I too kind? Am I too mean? Am I aggressive? Am I loud? Am I shy? What am I? I had so many questions about myself. And I started asking people, which is the worst thing you could ever do, by the way, to ask people how they see you. You should never ask anyone how they see you or how they think of you. Never. Never. This is their perception of you, not your perception of yourself. People could not be your realest mirror. People could be a mirror, one of the mirror that you walk by. It could be. It could be a cool mirror, but it cannot be the true mirror of who you are. You have to be that person. And this is the tough part. This is the key. This is the tool to not being anxious or depressed anymore. Depression comes from the severeness of your anxiety. It comes from being too anxious. It comes from not handling your anxiety well. So what happens is your brain shuts down and is like, I'm too tired to fight this anymore. I can't. And you wander and you spiral down those dark paths and dark roads and you go into this journey that isn't actually yours. You're carrying a mountain that isn't yours. You're carrying society's mountain. And you shouldn't. It's not yours to carry. You're only supposed to climb it. You're only supposed to climb that mountain, not carry it on your shoulder. So we spend the most of our lives trying to get validation from people, trying to be accepted in communities, in societies. No. You are you. You have something to bring to that table, and this is why you are you and you are the best. I'm not being all poetic or preacher or whatever. I'm being completely honest with you. So recently, last year, I went through a very, very dark relationship that for sure I'll be talking about later on. I went through a very rough patch in my life. I didn't think I'd ever go back to that phase in my life, but I went through it and I went through it hard, like never before. So as I told you, when I was a teenager, I was really anxious to the point where my dad would give me pills because I couldn't handle my anxiety anymore or my body or my panic attacks. And eventually it subsided at the age maybe of 19. And then I went into several toxic relationships. Several. When I say several, I say two or three or four, and each to 2 years or 3 years. And they were really toxic for me. Really toxic. The relationship was toxic. I don't know if they were. Some of them were toxic people that I would never recommend to anyone. and I would stop. I would actually stop any girl to date these people because I don't want anyone to go through that again, because these people are fucked up because of their personal journey that has been rough on them. But I don't think it's anyone's fault or it's anyone's mountain to carry again. So I went through several toxic relationships. After every toxic relationship, I'd say I learned better. I know better by now. I would never go back to a toxic relationship. And guess what I did? Many, several times. And every time you go through one, you think you know better, which you do. And at first I would beat myself down and feel so naive and stupid. But then I learned that every toxicity is different. Every toxic relationship is different. It doesn't mean that this one was less than the one before, that this one I should allow in my life. No. Some toxicity are massive, some aren't. And you should never allow one into your life. It's not yours to carry. You are here to love and to be loved, yes. You are here to accept and be accepted, yes. But you should know the difference between accepting someone's flaw and accepting someone's toxic behaviors. There is a huge difference. Someone who is toxic would make you cry more than they would make you laugh. Someone who's toxic would make your self-image lower. You would start having a lower self-esteem. You would lack so many things in your own personality because you feel that you're pouring yourself into the other person's heart and scars in order to fix them. So that's not our topic today. So what I wanted to say is I went through all these toxic relationships until... So what I felt is I felt like I had a wall, right? So after my teenage years being anxious and all of that and going through depression, I built a thick wall around me, trying to protect myself. So I had insecurities, trust issues, and all of that. And so I went through these relationships, and every relationship would knock a brick or two off that wall, right? So because it's breaking down parts of you, because you literally feel whenever you're in a relationship, you're a bad one, you feel like this person is literally taking pieces of you. And you feel it. You feel heartbroken, right? You feel like you're losing yourself and you're merging into this other person's life in order to be loved and in order for the other person to stay in your life, because they always threaten you to leave, or they make you feel unwanted or useless and all of that, or worthless. So you start pouring yourself into the other person, loving more, giving more in order to the person to be attached to you more. This is the misconception, by the way. You should never give more if the person is not attached. You should leave. You don't give more in order the person to give you. You give because you want to give, but you don't give because you feel like the relationship is threatened. You never give. You don't. The relationship should never be threatened. If you don't both want to be there, there is no point for you to be there. So after every relationship leading up to the big finale, which is the one I was in last year, after each relationship, I'd feel like my walls were being shaken and knocked bit by bit. And I'd feel like I was moving, you know, I was like, shit, I'm scarring, like, just stop. And so I'd leave after each one. I'd leave and get my heart broken, then get my hopes up, go into a relationship, get my heart broken, etc. Until I went into my last relationship, which was last year. I went through that relationship, and at first it started as all bad relationships start. They start as a passionate one, a very fusional one. You become one. You become too attached to one another. You can't spend 1 hour without talking to one another, and the other person becomes your whole life, and you become the life of the other person's life. And that's a very big red flag, right? When you're too codependent to the other person, it's not healthy. So after a while, the relationship started escalating very quickly, and it started becoming, I'm not going to say toxic, because toxic is going to undermine what I went through, but it became dangerous to my mental health and to my sanity. And I started hating myself. I would look at myself in the mirror and be like, this is not who you are, man. This person is calling you names and you know it. You know that this is not who you are. Then why the fuck are you accepting it? So you start like that, right? You start being angry at yourself. Like, why the fuck are you staying? No, raise your standards. Be egocentric for once. Then slowly, bit by bit, you start believing what the other person is telling you. You start wondering, am I selfish? Am I narcissistic? Am I really doing all these things without knowing? Is it why my past relationships failed? Is it why my parents don't like me that much? Is it why? So you start asking yourself these questions and you start doubting yourself. And this, boy, this is the worst thing that could happen to your anxiety or depression or whatever. Even if you have never experienced anxiety, this is the time where shit hits the fan, I'm telling you. So this is when you are no longer in control of the wheels. So once you start doubting yourself, once you're like, am I really a bad person? Should I really change myself? Know that you're about to go through a very fucked up phase in your life. Why? Because now you don't know who you are. Already, no one knows who they really are. But you know bits and pieces. You know that you're a good person. You know that you're a good human. You know that you're a loving person. These are the things you know for a fact. These are the things that keeps you going. These are the things that you hold on to, because you don't know the rest. You don't know what you're going to be 10 years from now. You don't know if you're going to get married. But what you know is who you are and what your intentions are. Who you are in the sense of when you see someone in need, you help. When someone is crying, you cry. You know that you're a tender person. You know that you're an emotional person or not an emotional person. But you know the basics of the you that you are, right? So these are the things that keeps you going forward. You go in, you carry those in your hand, and you try. You try things in life. But once comes a person and gets into your circle of trust, your circle of self, that we'll be talking about later on, once you allow that person in and they start bashing you and telling you things that are not true about you, but you start believing, because now they matter more than you matter to yourself. Now they are a priority and you're just an option. So whatever they say goes. So now you're at the next step or next level of that relationship or that toxic relationship, which is now you are believing everything they're telling you. So now you see yourself the way they see you, and which is really horrible because now you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't want to fix yourself anymore. You don't want to go up and shower. You just want to just sit in bed and just relax and just calm yourself for a second and try to regain that power and that self-confidence you once have, but you don't, because that person is still in your life, because you're allowing that person to touch you, kiss you, call you, love you. You're allowing that person to love the person in front of them that is you, that you hate now. So if you stay long enough in a relationship that's like that, you start hating yourself. And this is what happened to me. I started hating myself. It got to a point where I couldn't taste life. And when I say that, I couldn't understand why I was still alive. And that was really, really tough for me because I'm a very happy person generally. Before that incident, before that relationship, I was a very joyful person. I was excited about everything. I believed in fairy tales. I was a hopeless romantic. I was just an ambitious little girl who had tons of dreams and had all the powers in the world to manifest them. But a simple thing as several toxic relationships and a big finale for me ruined that at that time. Not now. Now I'm rocking it. But back then, it took me a year of self-loathing. I hated myself to a point where my parents had to hide mirrors because I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I'd look at myself and I start crying or shaking, and it was not the person I wanted to see. I hated myself. I would look into my eyes and be so terrified. I was so scared of who I was. And I was so scared of what I was able to do because I was not in control anymore of who I was. I didn't know. I had to re-meet myself. I had to re-sit with myself and get to know me more. And that only happened when I was single, when I was alone and surrounded by people that loved me. I know that you shouldn't seek validation from others. But when you sit with people that love you, when you sit with people that love every inch of your hair, you start wondering. These are like 6 to 7 to 8 people. He was just one. There are 8 people sitting in front of me right now who would rather sit with me than do anything else in the world. Just sit with me and laugh and love the little details about me that I was taught to hate. I hated so many things about myself that I used to love. I'm someone who's very emotional. I'm someone who overthinks things. In my past relationship, it was something he hated. It was something that he bashed me for it. It was something that repulsed him. Like, why are you like that? Why aren't you simple? Like, why aren't you just a joyful person? He dictated what I'm supposed to be. I had a very tough upbringing. I had a very tough childhood. Sometimes I would want to talk about this. Sometimes I would want to just sit at home and just talk about things that matter to me. To him, it didn't matter. Just be happy and let's go out and have a drink with our friends. So what I wanted to say is that after that relationship, it killed me. It broke my heart. It broke pieces of me I never thought I would ever get back. I used to tell my best friend, I remember, we'd sit in my bed and I used to tell her, I don't know what it feels like to feel anymore. I don't know. I don't know what it feels like to love. And once I remember I was driving back home and I ran over a dog. And for those who don't know, I'm someone who loves dogs. Although vegetarians are going to go off on me because I'm against vegetarianism, if that's a word. But I'm someone who loves animals in the sense of, we're not going to go into that now and just create another commotion about all of this. I'm just someone who, like, I own like 3 puppies and my best friends, all of them each have 3 to 4 puppies. So we live with dogs and I rescue dogs most of the times and like I save them and all of that. Dogs and cats on the streets, I usually rescue them. So at that time, I was so numb that I was falling asleep on the road and I hit a dog. And I stopped in the middle of the road and I didn't feel anything. I parked on the side of the road and I called my best friend and I didn't even cry. I told her what the fuck is wrong with me. I don't see why I'm still alive. Why am I still alive? Why? I don't feel anything. I don't want to. I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't find a reason to live anymore. I couldn't. Because the pieces of me that I had best, I have thrown them out the window for that one stupid person who didn't see any of it, who took me for granted, who left me every 3 days, who broke up with me because it was convenient to him, who thought it was more important to have fun in life than actually have these moments that matter. So I was left alone at 3 a.m. in the morning on the side of the road, sitting. And that was 6 months into my depression, 6 months after I broke up with him. And I started crying over myself. That was the first time I cried because I couldn't cry before. I was emotionless. I was ruthless. I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck about anything. I didn't even want to get myself ready. I was nauseous about going out. I didn't want to see people. I don't want to hear music. I don't want to see people laughing or having fun. And it was summer. I couldn't see the sun. I couldn't feel the heat of the sun on my skin. I couldn't handle seeing anyone smiling. No one is allowed to smile. Why are you smiling about? I wasn't sad though. I was just numb. And anyone who felt otherwise was stupid to me. So back then, that was the first time I cried. I cried at myself. Who have you become? This is not you. This is not anyone. How could you allow that one person do that to you just because you love them, just because you tried to love the parts of them that no one did? They hated parts of you that everyone loved. So why is it? Why is it that we always fall for people who need saving, but instead of saving them, we drown with them? And this is how I felt. I hated myself the way he hates himself. I hated myself the way he hated me. So I cried and went home. And it was a very dark path for me. I started therapy, which is one of the best decisions of my life. I started going to therapy and we started talking. We started talking about so many things. So many. It started with my relationship and then went deep. But to talk about my relationship, what I figured out is that I chose this person and this person chose himself as well. So we both chose him and no one chose me in this relationship. So I was anxious. I would sit in my bed and couldn't breathe. And just, I'm a believer, but I'm a believer in my own terms. I don't believe in religions. I don't believe in a lot of things. I believe in my own religion and my own God. I talk to my own God. I don't need anyone. I don't need a priest. I don't need a sheikh for me to talk to my God. So I remember I sat on my bed. I was home alone and the window was open, wide. And I was so scared, man. I would look at that window and I started bawling. And I remember I put a camera in front of me and just videotaped that. And I told myself, listen, now you're an empty tank. You don't have anything in you. Anything. You're an empty tank. You have nothing in you. Nor the will, nor the want to live. Nothing. And I get that. This is how I was talking to myself, by the way. So I get that. I get that you don't want to live. But listen to me. That's not you who's talking. That's not you, because you are not that person who says these things. This is another voice and it's not yours. It's these hateful and shameful things he said to you. It's how much he hated the things in you because he didn't have them. And that's the truth. Because if it weren't the truth, I wouldn't be, happy and very much joyful now again. So at that time, sitting on my bed, I looked up at the sky. From my window, and my window was clear open. And I always feared that my body would do something my mind didn't want to. I was terrified. I felt like not just did I lose control of my mind, but I lost control of my body as well. I couldn't command it anymore. It was on its own, and I didn't know what to do. I was loose. I was sinking my ship. So I was terrified. Which sometimes I can't believe I'm saying that. Sometimes I would tie myself to my sofa. My house is a two-story house. So I would sit downstairs and tie myself to my sofa in order not to do anything crazy. This is how scared I was. So that night, I looked into the camera and I said, today, you're an empty tank. But I promise you that a year from now, you will be a full one. And I'm going to show you that video again, and you're going to see it, and you're going to see how strong you are and who you truly are, and that this person talking right now to you, Yara, is the real you. And I promise you that. I promise you that you are not that person. And I swear to you, but by all gods, all means, all whatever the fuck you want, I promise you that you are not that person you're so scared of. This is not you. You will ride through. And I started fighting myself. I started fighting so many things, so many thoughts, so many words that have been said to me, so many situations where I was alone, where I needed someone, where I was weak. And I started fighting day by day on an empty tank. And this is what strength is. When you run on an empty tank, when you have nothing in your backpack, nothing, not even the will. Again, I'm telling you, I didn't have the will. I would look up in the morning, wake up, look up at the sunny sky and be like, fuck, man, that's another 24 hours. That's how much I didn't want to live. And then, bit by bit, things changed for me. How? I fought back without anything in my hand. I fought just with the image of who I truly was, who I was before all of that. So who were you before all of that? Before this pandemic, before this quarantine, before this economical crisis, who were you? This is who you truly are. The person sitting now being anxious and depressed just because you can't go out, man, seriously. Depression is the best thing anyone could ever go through. I tell you why. Because it's the moment where people change their lives. This is where you have the choice and you have the power to change everything in your life. This is the only moment for you. You should seize it. When you are low, there is nowhere and no way but up. No way. When you're at your lowest, the only way to go is up again. So this is where I tell you, I know you are not okay. And I know some of you are going through so many things. Like so many people are in abusive households. So many people have broken up during quarantine. So many are going not only through just quarantine, but many other shit as well. But always remember, who are you? Who are you? Who you are shouldn't depend on where you are or who you're with. Who you are should be intact, and no one is allowed to touch that. And if anyone tries to touch it, you bye-bye them. Bye, bitch. Bye, Felicia. You're out the door. No buts, no looking back. You're just leaving, moving forward. Protect yourself. So don't wait for a fucking government to tell you what to do. You do it by yourself. You do it to yourself because you deserve it. Because you deserve to be healthy. Because you deserve to live. Because you deserve to go on that journey of yourself and on self-joy and happiness. So when I tell you sit at home, this is the best time for you to just think. Go through these hardships of yours. These things you put in your subconscious just to postpone it later and deal with it later. Go through them today. Finish this quarantine a better person. Not by working hard. This is not an overachievement contest. This is for you to be a better person. Reconsider your relationship if it's a bad one. Reconsider your friendships. Reconsider your parents. Parents are not people we should just love. We can hate our parents. It happens. Some parents are not good parents. Some parents are horrible parents. So just reconsider your life. Think about who you are, not what you want to be. Stop thinking about your future. People think that this pandemic is about planning. This is not about planning. This is about fixing. You spent all of your life until today doing crazy ass shit, accepting crazy ass shit because you thought you deserved more. Well, guess what? You do deserve more, but the right way. And this is the only time for you to sit alone and think, I wouldn't have gone out of my depression if I was with someone. I didn't allow anyone in, not even my best friend. No one knew other than my dad and my therapist. No one. I was alone. This is what you should be doing. Go on a jog every day for an hour. Every day for an hour. Just 1 hour of your day. Make it for you. Do that. 1 hour a day. 1 hour is not enough, by the way. You sit that on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. You watch a movie in 1 hour. So sit 1 hour by yourself alone. Turn off your phone. Go on that jog. Put some music on. And just sit. Confront yourself. You already lost yourself if you're anxious. So what have you got to lose? You lost the most precious thing for you, which is you. You are your most precious thing. For you to be anxious today or depressed means you've already lost that person. So gain it back. Go on the hunt for that person. Care for it as much as you cared for that stupid asshole who broke your heart. Or a girl or whatever. I'm not talking about for women. I'm talking for both. So give the same amount to yourself. The same amount as you've given those people who hurt you, whether it's your parent, friend, relationship, whatever it is. Give that same amount of effort. Do that. And trust me, you're going to thank me later. I promise you. I love you guys so much, truly. For the ones who've come here from Instagram, I'm so happy that you're here and I'm so happy that you're listening to me. And thank you so much for the messages that you send me. I read every one of them. And I'm really happy that I'm doing this. Every episode I talk about, I'm more and more happy and more feel achieved. Like now I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap and eat and all that. And I'm just super excited for the next one. So I love you so much. And I trust you with everything I say. I'm the most vulnerable here, like I've never been. So you're my best friend. I've decided for you to be my best friend because some of you have been there for me without even knowing me. So I believe in people and I believe in you. I believe in your presence and I trust you. So I'm so happy that this is something that we all can hop on and just communicate. And for the future episodes, I already have a lot of people lined up for it. And it's going to be super cool. And I'm just super excited. And I really hope that this is a way of me giving back to you guys. I love you guys so much. And thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I really, really love you. Truly. Today was emotional for me. I'm going to think about that. I feel like weak a little. But I'm happy. I'm happy I shared that with you. And I hope someone gets the help they need from every episode. I love you again and enjoy your day and stay at home. Stay at home.